Our speaker this afternoon comes to us from California, and his name is our brother Steve Mangos. And for his topic, Healing Leaves. Healing Leaves. Brother Steve.
Good afternoon, brethren. It works in the afternoon, too. That's great. Well, Sister Betty and I are certainly very, very happy to be here in convention with you. And your brethren in Los Angeles all voted to have their love sent to you. Healing Leaves. We're all looking forward to the kingdom when we will be with the Father and our Lord. The further joy will be helping to bring kingdom blessings to the entire world of mankind as they are resurrected. Mankind is looking for a better world. As they see it, it would be a world free of violence, sickness, and misery. They're looking for leaders that will make this dream come true. Some have what some others want. Freedom from financial worry, or just financial security and the ability to have necessary health care that will ensure a better quality of life here on earth. For some, the ultimate is being in heaven. Then all the problems found on earth will no longer exist. Well, that dream will become reality, of course, with a few minor changes. In the meantime, they look to political leaders to make life better for them here on earth. The leaders have been trying all manners of systems and ideas to achieve this goal. Some in sincerity, some to gain power and the dream for themselves. The scriptures tell us that mankind will have that dream. They will have leadership and a government that will have the people's interests as their foremost objective, to govern with pure and equal justice for every person. We can see this prophecy given to us through John's vision in Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The first heaven and earth no longer existed. That first arrangement of church and state had been done away with and replaced with a new organization. The slate was wiped clean, so to speak, and a new government organized and directed by the new heavens, as we see in Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This new government will be under the direction of the husband, the groom, and his bride, Christ, the groom, and the bride, the church. The new heavenly Jerusalem, the inauguration of the glorified Christ, head and body. We read in Romans 8:22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." It seems that the TV media is mesmerized by tragedy, disaster, war, and anything else that shows the suffering of people. Television gives us instantaneous visual evidence of all that happens anywhere in the world. The grief shown on the faces of people going through tragedies is a vivid evidence of the need for the kingdom. Romans 8:19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Mankind has continually looked forward to a time when suffering would be a thing of the past. Some expect that to happen on earth through the ingenuity of man. Some expect it when they die and they go to heaven. Unrealized by them is the fact that what they are waiting for is the completion of the church. The church, head and body, so that God's kingdom can be established and their dreams realized. Having been called and blessed with the Holy Spirit that has opened our eyes and minds to the precious promises of God, we have a knowledge and an understanding of His plan. While it is revealed to John in a vision, we have been given the Holy Spirit, which has opened our minds and given us the ability to see and understand His plan for an earthly kingdom as given to us in the Scriptures. In Revelation 21:9, the angel took John to see the bride, the Lamb's wife, Jesus and the church. The church, head and body in all its glory, descending from heaven as a city, representing a new government of divine creation to begin the work of blessing the world of mankind. Psalm 72:7 and Isaiah 1:19 gives us an idea of what life will be like in the millennium under the direction of the Messiah. Isaiah 1:19 and 20, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword of the mouth of the Lord." "Ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." There are two similar scriptures in the Old Testament that picture the millennium. One is in Ezekiel 47:1. This is the description of Ezekiel's temple. Ezekiel 47:1. "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." The waters of truth, restitution, and millennial blessings being poured upon mankind and the earth in keeping with the promise that was given to Abraham, the blessings of all the families of the earth. The waters coming out from under the house toward the east would be in keeping with the fact that the high priest came out of the tabernacle on the Day of Atonement towards the east to bless the people. The river of life flowing towards the east to bring life to all mankind. Ezekiel 47:3-5. "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters." The waters were to the ankles. "Again he measured 1,000, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." The gradual deepening of the water of truth and life shows that gradual development of the kingdom as the blessings grow and cover the earth, the blessings flowing from the New Jerusalem becoming ever deeper until everyone and everything is affected by the influence of the kingdom. It emphasizes the fact that it will take 1,000 years for the perfection of all of mankind and the earth. That time when the earth and mankind will be totally immersed in the truth of God's word and in total harmony with the Father. Zechariah 14:8, another scripture in the Old Testament picturing the millennial age. Zechariah 14:8. "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be." Again, a picture of life-giving waters of the kingdom flowing from the New Jerusalem, the glorified church. This picture parallels the picture in Revelation 22:1 that speaks of a river of water of life flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. These two scriptures are describing the same river of life, and they give us a glimpse into the future, the day in which the kingdom blessings will flow from the throne of God. It is Jehovah's plan for the salvation of mankind. He promised Abraham, "In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This pure river of life, clear as crystal, is flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb to give life to mankind. Revelation 21:9. "Come hither, I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife." The Lamb and his wife, of course, constitute the New Jerusalem, the new government that will wipe away all the old oppressive organizations that developed under the curse and usher in the new order of God's kingdom. This river of living waters will heal the earth and give life to all who will drink. These are the waters that Jesus spoke of with the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4:14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Not this. Jesus was offering the Samaritan woman a refreshing drink that carries with it the hope of everlasting life through faith in him as the Redeemer. It is the same refreshing water offered to all that are called and invited to strive for a crown that will identify them as members of the Christ head and body. Then, when the church is complete and beyond the veil, that wellspring of clear water of truth, will be offered to all mankind. The fact that the water's source is the throne of God and the Lamb is characterized by the crystal clearness of the water. It is so pure that the healing qualities are unmistakable. While we enjoy these healing qualities now, the world is blinded to the fact. When the Christ is complete and man's eyes and mind are washed by this crystal clear water, the Word of God, they will understand that it is there for the taking and will be their refreshment as long as they are obedient to the laws of God. Revelation 22:2. "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Here we see what must be a broad street of the city. In the middle of the street flows the river. Just as a large boulevard is divided by grass, making a roadway on either side, on each bank of the river grows the tree of life. Here, tree is singular and implies one kind of tree that bears 12 kinds of fruit and has a new crop every month. However, in Ezekiel 47:12, a parallel picture, we see trees plural on each side of the river. Ezekiel 47:7. "Now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other." Ezekiel 47:12. "And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Most commentaries state that tree, in Revelation 2:2, should be plural. And Rotherham also refers back to Ezekiel 47:7 as the same river and trees on either side of the river, saying then that it should be plural, not just one tree. All these trees will grow fruit that will be food for the nourishment of mankind. It will be a perfect food, a life-sustaining food for mankind in the kingdom. As we see in Matthew 3:10, all trees are not good. The good ones bear fruit. Matthew 3:10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And in Matthew 7:20-21, see that the elect shall be known by the fruits they bring to maturity. Bearing good fruit is a reflection of doing God's will. Matthew 7:20-21. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is limited to those who are called, and then only those who are faithful to their calling and to the Father. Then those faithful ones who are overcomers, the righteous ones, will become the trees of life, as indicated in Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 2:6-7 likens the Christian to a tree in his spiritual development. Colossians 2:6-7. As you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. Brother Russell makes a comment on this scripture. To me, it was so good that I would like to quote him from reprints 55:57. Reprint 55:57. As the roots of a tree push themselves downward and imbibe the nutrients of the soil, while at the same time the trunk and the branches reach up into the atmosphere to obtain through the leaves the necessary elements of growth, so the mentality of the Christian takes hold of the great precious promises, the Word of God, while at the same time he is building character through his heart appreciation of these promises in connection with the experiences of life. The roots of faith push down deep into the knowledge of the divine plan, while the tree of character grows higher and higher, developing and maturing the rich fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. For instruction is a form of construction. Ezekiel 47:12 says, whose leaf shall not fade, and the leaves thereof for medicine. The leaves will not fade or wilt. This is important because in Revelation 22:2, the leaves are said to be for the healing of the nations. So they must remain strong if they are to complete their mission. Strong's 50:34 for the word fade is nabale. It means to wilt, or generally to fall away, to fail or faint. Then it says, the fruit shall not be consumed. This gives the thought that it will not be eaten. But later in the verse, it states that the fruit is meat or food to be eaten. The NIV in the American Standard Version used fail instead of consumed. The fruit will not fail, fade, fall off the tree and rot or wither. Rotherham also supports this thought. In Strong's 8552, tall man is the word for consumed. It means to complete, in a good or bad sense, to come to an end, to fail. In other words, the fruit would not come to full maturity and then just stay there and rot and fall off. The NIV states that these trees on either side of the river will bear new fruit every month. The implication is that there is more than one kind of tree, each bearing its own kind of fruit with a new crop every month. Is this a literal fruit that will be the meat of food for mankind in the kingdom? We find the answer in Galatians 5, 22, 23, and 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. And I rather like this thought. This fruit represents the fruits of the Spirit developed by the church, the fruits that identify those this side of the veil as members of the elect class that has to show this development if they are to make their calling and election sure. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And if you do all these things, you will not fall. These are the character traits we must develop if we are to make our calling and election sure, as stated in 2 Peter 1:10. If we develop these fruits, we shall not fall. Revelation 22:2 states that the trees on either side of the river will bear 12 manner of fruits. And if we count the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians and 2 Peter, and count love as rendered brotherly kindness, or filial duty love, and charity, agape love, as one love, and long-suffering, the same as patience, which Strong's does, we find that there are 12 fruits of the Spirit, and would then identify the 12 manners of fruits. In the kingdom, each person resurrected will have to develop these same character traits in order to be in compliance with the qualities that are needed to be in a condition of atonement with God. They will partake of these characteristics from the church in the form of education and guidance that will eventually lead them to perfection. Revelation 22:2. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. Ezekiel 47:12 says, the leaf for medicine. I think they go right hand in hand. The church, as ambassadors of Christ, performs a mission of compassion and comfort for all as we witness the truth with the promise of the kingdom blessings for all the families of the earth. Likewise, in the kingdom, the work of the Christ will be to nourish mankind as they walk up the highway of holiness. The work of education and the nourishment needed for the development of mental and moral standards that are in tune with the Heavenly Father will be the work of the church head and body. These trees of life on both sides of the river represent the church giving nourishment, strength, and healing medication that will bring mankind back to perfection and at one with God. Psalms 1:1-3 pictures the church as trees on either side of the river. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Jeremiah 17:1 through 14 is a picture of Israel as a nation rejecting the heavenly calling and those individuals who accepted the call. It uses trees in both the negative and positive sense. In the Jeremiah 17:2, it says, "Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees and on the high hills." You remember that King Ahaz, who was rejected by God because instead of turning the people to him, he turned them away. And he built these altars in the high places, and they erected these poles to Asherah, who was the god of fertility. And then, of course, then King Hezekiah came along and tore them all down. In Jeremiah 17:7 and 8, "Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that it extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." Then we're saying here that the church represents these trees, or the trees represent the church, and that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. When a tree is in season for bearing its fruit, if there are no leaves on the tree is dead and has no life in it. In the spring, when the green leaves begin to turn to sprout, it is said that it is as a rebirth of life bursting forth. Leaves say life. To say that the leaves and the trees are the healing agents is particularly significant and a beautiful symbol because of the important part that botanical life plays in the lives of all mankind. We might even say a life-enhancing part. The brethren in the Northwest like to call their beautiful forests oxygen factories. Very true. Oxygen in the biosphere, the area around the Earth's surface, is necessary for respiration and metabolism, the means by which all animals derive the energy to sustain life. Oxygen is the most abundant element at the surface of the Earth. It's not only found in the air, but in ore, earth, rocks, gemstones, and all living organisms. I'd like to quote from the Grohler's Encyclopedia, a statement that I found really interesting. "The biosphere is a thin envelope extending 5 to 6 miles into the atmosphere, as well as into the soil where microorganisms are found. The myriad of living organisms that live on Earth owe their existence to the sun's energy and to the interaction of this energy with the elements and compounds found in the biosphere. Although the Earth itself does emit some internal energy, compared to the energy output of the sun, this amount is insignificant." And this is what I particularly like. "Since the other planets, thought to be lifeless, are irradiated with the sun's energy, there must be other reasons for the development of life as we understand it." I think they have something there. Man and animals need oxygen to sustain life. We inhale oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. Through photosynthesis, all green plants absorb carbon dioxide through the leaves and give off oxygen. In other words, plants, and especially trees, are our oxygen factories. Mankind needs a lot of oxygen. If the amount of oxygen around the earth were depleted by one half, man could not live. When the curse was placed on Adam, that he and his progeny would live a life of suffering, ending in death, mankind became host to a myriad of diseases and sickness. This sickness not only affected him physically, but mentally as well, and thanks to the dedication of Satan, causing a deterioration of morality and an affinity towards sin. We know that in the kingdom, this will change. With Satan bound and the help of the mediator, the Christ head and body, man will proceed upon the highway of holiness to perfection and be at one with God. Recently, I was watching a TV program, it's been a little while ago, on the part that chemical scientists play in making medications we use today when we are under the weather. They were discussing how a substance taken from a tree in South America was used to produce a particular pain medication almost everyone takes from time to time. After the scientists discovered the medicinal qualities of the substance, they replicated it in the Bayer laboratories in Germany and produced aspirin. I happened to be watching the program with my biochemist daughter-in-law, who was explaining to me in layman terms what we were seeing. And I made the comment that I had heard that all medications we have are derived from plants or trees. She quickly corrected me and said, not all. Well, that led me to do a little research, and I went to our local arboretum and their library, and there were a lot of books on this subject. And seeing that we all hope to be trees sometime in the future, dispensing life-giving blessings, I thought you might be interested in your medicinal roots. I'll just quote a little bit from what they say. Of course, the natural world once was the source of all medicinal agents, and they came from the higher plants and such as trees, most of them. The higher plants have served humankind as sources of medicinal agents since its earliest beginnings. And of course, at one time, they provided all the medicinal needs. And today, natural products represent over 50% of all the drugs in clinical use. And of course, folklore in all different cultures support this. Now, if you take a cardiac medication, you can probably thank the African strophanthus tree or calabar bean, because they derive a lot of that medication from that. Or if you take a tranquilizer, it comes from the East Indian sank root tree. Bioactive and poisonous plants in folklore history yield other cardiac medications such as digitalis, codeine, morphine, quinine, ephedrine, cocaine, and anyone who suffers from asthma will recognize theophylline. Plants and trees still provide a great deal of our medication. And just recently, there was one, Toxol, an anti-cancer drug from the scarce western yew tree. And as early as late as December 1992, a medication for ovarian cancer was introduced. All from plants and trees. And you know, when you go to the doctor and you have the flu, and he goes through all the motions, and then he says, well, you have the flu, that's a virus. We don't have anything that will touch it. And then he gives you a prescription for an antibiotic so that you feel that he's done something for you when you get his bill. Well, I received not long ago a bi-monthly newspaper called this Dispatch from Jerusalem, December 94. There was an article in the paper that told of a woman virologist at the Hebrew University Hadassah Medical Center in Jerusalem who was conducting research on the elderberry. She found that the proteins in the elderberry isolate the viruses and they die. And when they tested this on people, they did quite a wide testing situation on it, and they found that the majority of the people that took this, they call it Sambucol, and you can get it over the counter because it's just elderberries, the people were cured in 2 days. So you can see that using the term healing, the healing leaves or the leaves for the healing of the nations is a beautiful symbol because we can understand how that can happen. Going back to the scriptures that refer to the leaves as medicine or as healing in Ezekiel 47:12 and Revelation 22:2, we feel that the whole tree represents the church class and the fruit it yields as well as the leaves contribute to the healing or blessing of all the families of the earth. The river proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb is in the middle of the street that also must be leading to the throne. On either side of the river, available to all who travel this street, are the trees of life with the fruit of nourishment and leaves for healing. The first thing that came to my mind was the highway in Isaiah 35:8. Of course, we know that that whole chapter is of the kingdom, and as mankind travels up that highway of holiness, they will be able to imbibe the nutrients they need from the church class. Ezekiel 47:8-9. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come hither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whither the river cometh. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God, the new Jerusalem, the glorified church, head and body, God's kingdom on earth, God's government that will be established on earth and will bring blessings and life to all its inhabitants. These crystal clear waters of truth, unpolluted by doctrinal errors and centuries of man-made traditions that have no basis in Scripture, will flow from the glorified Christ to all mankind. Refreshing water and healing leaves that will bring righteousness, life, and the desire for all God's creation to be in harmony with Him. I'd like to close with Revelation 21:3-5, which is familiar to all of us. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Steve, for those thoughts concerning the healing leaves.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee at this time with thanksgiving in our hearts for all the way that Thou hast led us, for the many blessings that Thou hast provided us, and especially thankful for the gift of Thy Son, whose sacrifice has made possible for us to be called and to share with Him as mediators of the new covenant that brings blessings to all the families of the earth. Now we do pray for that time when all shall know Thee from the least unto the greatest. We pray also for all Thy people the world over, asking special blessings upon those who are going through severe trials. Be with them and strengthen them. We ask for Thy continued guidance and direction and forgiveness for those things that we come short in serving Thee. We pray and ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen.